Hope you had a good weekend. It's just getting better because you're here in God's presence. Highlight of the day, of the weekend, ending in God's presence. And if you're visiting here with us, we trust that you're going to enjoy this time with us this morning. And I don't know about you, we've been away over the holiday last week I preached for the first time this year, and we shared on, if you can remember, those of you who've been here in Mark 4, about the story about Jesus calming the storm that is inviting his disciples. So we shared on that. You can listen to that online. We've got that on audio as well as in video. Shofar Online TV or shofaronline.org/Swakopmund if you want to have a look at that. But just to recap on that for those of you that's not been here, because it does help us to get some context of where we're going, because I did tell you last week that we're going to connect two stories and we're going to continue, because what happened is Jesus was sitting with his disciples. They had a normal church meeting, let's put it that way. And at one point, Jesus says, okay, that's the end of the church meeting. We're crossing the lake or the sea. So you want to get with me into the boat? And he invited them. He didn't command them, he invited them. And as a result of that invitation that took place, there was three groups of people, three groups of people that formed as a result of one invitation. And we said, you know, that whenever Christ is issuing an invitation, that causes a bit of disruption and that forces us to group and decide where we're going to. And so what happened is some of them stayed behind. We don't know for what reason. We can add to some flavor to that and say it was this and that and something that we can possibly relate to. Not necessarily that it wasn't right, because actually the guys that were with him, that were within the boat, because there were another group, there were three groups, the guys that stayed behind, the guys that were within the boat, and there were a couple of them that followed him from a distance. And the ones that were within the boat were right in the middle of the storm. And they're the ones that be able to testify of what they experienced. So that just brought me to that conclusion that I saw, is that in the kingdom we'll have three different kinds of groups. Those that always hear about what happens, those that saw, and those that experience. You know, and I really trust that this year that will be your ambition and inspiration to make sure that you are there with experience, experiencing what Christ wants you to experience, the fullness of that. You know, just hearing how that's this and this happened. So, but the story didn't stop there. There's more to that story, and we're going to discover that. But before we go there, I've got a little coil here. You all know probably what this is and what is happening when you pull this. You can stretch this, but it would go back to the normal position, okay, which is interesting because it reminds me of our spiritual journey. You know, it reminds me of myself, it reminds me of, I don't want to say others, then it looks like I'm preaching to others, I'm preaching to myself here this morning. Because whenever we are in God's presence, and wherever we are with Jesus, and that's what happened that day, that Jesus had to issue an invitation to take them to the other side. As a result of that invitation, some decided, no, we're not going to go with you. There was a moment of stretching taking place. You want to get with me into the boat? Jesus, maybe not today, next time, next Sunday. We really got some cooking to do, got the kids at home, you know, got homework. What can we put in there? You can decide for yourself. Anything. But it's like our journey with Christ as well, you know. Christ says, let me just stretch you a little bit, because we live in this norm, in this box of Christianity, and this is the way it's supposed to be, and this is the way I grew up, and this is the way I pray, and this is the way I do things. And then every now and then, Christ would just get into that place of our little box, and he says, allow me to do that. And then when he starts doing that, we go, oh, no, 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 Lord, 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 leave, leave. And then we go back to the normal position, because I like my comfort. I like the known. I love the fact that I can predict things and that I'm in control of things. And when Christ pulls me, it's not comfortable. I don't, Lord, leave, leave. Okay, and then we go back to you. And then you wonder why your relationship with Christ sometimes, or Christianity, seems to you sometimes boring. It's because of this one thing. We don't allow him, we don't give him full permission. But here's the thing. If you push this or pull this hard enough, there's a point. If you pull beyond that point, this thing will never go back to the normal position. And it's exactly the same in our relationship with God. If you allow God to take you to that place, you'll never be the same. Never, ever. You can never go back. And that's the thing. Once you've had that revelation, once you've had that experience, once you've been in that place, You cannot but not say, God, I'm not the same anymore. There's something that needs to. And you know, Christ wants to do that quite often in our lives, I sense. Actual fact, it happened with the disciples that day. But while they were sitting there, and that's why it happened there, there was a crowd that formed around the tree. There was a crowd, another boat in the crowd with Jesus. As a result of this thing, or this illustration, that God wants to soft often say, listen, let's get in the boat. And I said last week as well, he didn't offer them a lot of details. And that's what I find with Christ as well often, that he would doesn't give us a lot of details when he invites us. Can you just come? Look at the way he called his disciples. I've shared that many times, thousands of times. The way Christ, because it requires faith. It requires something more of us. It actually needs to bring us to the place that we are so comfortable and trust Christ so much that we can say yes to Christ without any detail given to us. You know, but I don't know. Sometimes I would like to know a little bit more info. And it's not that Christ doesn't want to give it to us, but sometimes Christ deliberately does that because he's taking us on this journey. Likewise with his disciples, he's intending to take them on this journey that day specifically to stretch them, because the next 24 hours would stretch them beyond that place that they would never be the same again. It wasn't just an ordinary journey that evening when he gave them invitation. The next 24 hours was so vital in their spiritual journey that would change them forever. The way they look at Christ, the things that they've seen, the places they've gone to, the way Christ reacted to the situation and all of that, what they learned out of that would change them forever. Amazing what 24 hours in the presence of God can do. This year when we have our men's camp, 9th to 11th of March, all the men, you must say amen and make a note of that, 9th to 11th of March. Next week we're going to launch that and give you more information about that. But this year we're going to have from Stephen Lungu again there. And it's just such an inspiration and blessing to us in such many ways. We've got other speakers there as well. But his testimony is 5 or 7 minutes, something like that, in God's presence, changed him forever. He was walking into that place intending to kill all the Christians. It's within a crusade that happened back in Zimbabwe. And his plan was back then, he was still a terrorist. He was filled with rage and anger. And he wanted to kill that Christians. He walked into that place. 5 minutes, he sat there, stood there at the back, and the next thing, God touched him. Amazing what God can do in 5 minutes in your life. What God could do for 24 hours with the disciples. You're sitting here for an hour and a half maybe this morning. If you've been here long enough, I don't know, add that up. It's much more than 24 hours. If we're truly in the presence of God. If I say truly, that means he's got our full attention. I came here prepared. I'm there all the time. Then I guess I should look quite a lot like Jesus after all those hours. Ain't we supposed to? So sometimes we are leaking, in a way, if I can put it that way. And it's maybe good at the beginning of this year to find out where's the leak. And I don't think it's God's side that his power is diminished. Actual fact, listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11. Can we read to get it up there? And we're talking, by the way, on this the subject of where's the love this morning. That's our theme for this year. And this morning we touch on love is to go. But before we go there, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 11 that Paul wrote to the church there. And he's worried and concerned about the church. He's writing this to believers, to us this morning. He says, but I fear, now he's concerned that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. Look at that word, your pure and undivided devotion to Christ. Paul didn't say you're not going to be devoted to Christ anymore. He didn't say I'm worried that you're going to stop following Christ. I'm just more worried that your devotion to Christ will not be pure anymore. If I correctly translate it, he's speaking to us, churchgoers, relation, confessing that we have a relationship with God. And the reason why you sit here this morning is because you most probably have a form of devotion to God. The question I need to ask and you need to ask is my devotion pure and undevoted? Pure and free from mixture. Look at that word. Free from mixture, unconnected from anything else, and disinterested. That means I'm not interested in that and that. totally interested. Yeah. Next word, undivided, existing as a whole, not in separate parts. And I shared in the first service as well. If you've got a work box, and you've got a house box, you've got a church box, you've got a friends box, and I just want to say to you, you've got a divided box. You've got divided devotion, because Christ wants to enter into your work box, and then he wants to say to you, let the kingdom come. No, God, right? Not now. God, we do that thing. If your relationship and my relationship consists of an hour and a half in the week doing what we're doing here, then it's pretty much boring. And actually, we're just playing religion, you know. But Christ says, I want to be in your family box as well. For me, there's no barriers. Because Christ is all and in all, says the scripture. So here's the thing. Paul is concerned about our devotion. In the last days, he says, I'm not worried that people will stop following me. I'm just more worried that your conscience will be silent and that you will start serving another Jesus. Look at that scripture there. Another Jesus. It's possible to sit here this morning, I'm going to say it here, slowly, that you serve another Jesus. The Jesus that you and I create for ourselves, that fits our little world. You don't understand that? Let me help you here. Sometimes, and you mingle with people and you see the challenges of life, you see the things they're addressing, how light confronts darkness, and we're in this process of being formed into the image of Christ. But every time when we justify and we say, you know what, God will understand my situation, my Jesus will understand, you just created yourself your Jesus. Because whenever Jesus enters and confronts the truth, I'm supposed to change. But whenever I adapt Jesus, and you know, I'm just going to stay like this because Jesus will understand. And then we even become more spiritual. We use the word season. I hate it sometimes when we use seasons when it's not seasons. You know, I'm the season to just do nothing. And God will understand. You just created yourself a Jesus that fits. You know, this is happening, but right now, Jesus will understand. And slowly we form this Jesus that Paul needs to say, I'm worried that you will put up with that. That kind of spirit will be present in your life and your devotion becomes divided. And I'm sure this morning there's for all of us something to ponder upon about this devotion thing, about God, is my devotion purely and undivided? Am I completely focused upon you? Or if I allow another Jesus or another spirit come in. And this is what happened. God had to take them, Jesus had to take them into this journey to purify them, to change them, so that they could find out what is real love. And we're talking about that this morning. Love is to go. So let's read from Mark 5. We're going to continue. Like I shared with you, it happened where Jesus calmed the storm. So now we're picking it up from Mark 5. Remember that in the Bible, the original scripts, there weren't any chapters. So this is one story just unfolding. Okay, we have chapters, but it wasn't there back then. So we had the story as Jesus invited them to journey with him. But let's first read and then we're going to unpack that story. Chapter 5, verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came off the boat. Climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. Interesting place. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned into the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." Who said the Bible is boring? What an interesting story, man. I love this whole story, what happened in the next 24 hours. Because if you rewind that from the previous chapter, chapter 4 that we covered last week, it's quite an interesting story. In the next 24 hours, like I said, for the disciples was such an vital experience. And this morning, as we share in love and the real Jesus and real love, I first of all want to make a statement. What happened is, before we make the statement, maybe just pick up on that and say, you know, if I look in Scripture, I see something about Jesus. I see Jesus in the marketplace. I see Jesus in the synagogue. I see Jesus in the temple. I see Jesus at the river, Jordan River. I see Jesus on the mountain. I see Jesus in the business. Oh, I see Jesus praying. This is something about Jesus. He's like me this morning. Can't just stand still in one place. You got to follow me all the time. And you got to be with Jesus. You got to follow him. Because Jesus didn't come after his baptism when he was commissioned and said, "Okay, this is my ministry. Now we're going to go to church and back. Work, church and back." No, not that order. It's all over and everywhere. Christ is all and in all and everywhere, I want to say. No compartments, because at any given time, Christ wants to, he's just continuing with the journey. And if we want to follow Christ and we want to search for real love, we need to be on that journey with Christ. You say to me this morning, "I am on the journey." Well, I'll ask you, what happened lately on that journey? Some of us, we just take a walk with them. Church, home. Church, work. And that's our relationship. Maybe that's just a walk. But the real journey becomes exciting. Especially in this case, when we read the story about the disciples, what happened, what took place here. Because there's something about Jesus. Jesus is on a mission at all times. And right now, where we are, when we are privileged to have the Holy Spirit with us, Christ is still on a mission. Till we all either depart before he comes back or when he comes back, he's on a mission through the Holy Spirit. And if I and you, we are going to say, "God, we're following you," you'll have to be on a mission. And people that are on a mission, people that are journeying with Christ, I'm making spirit, and I'm going to say it slowly so that I make sure I don't make any mistakes in this. If we declare this morning, or we confirm, or we, whatever you want to say, you agree with me this morning that you want to journey with Christ, that means I am making spirit-led decisions based upon the kingdom of God. That means if that is the direction that we're going, or Christ wants us to go, or this is where his mission is taking place, I get in line with that. God, my whole family, my whole being, my work, everything is around that. It's not about, you see, there's a difference between that. There's two types of Christians we get. Those that are on mission with Christ and those that invite Christ on their mission. "Lord, can you come along? I'm on that way. I'm going that direction. Can you bless that and be with us? And let your presence just be with us as well." It's a different thing when we're on Christ's mission. And I often share on that, but it's so important that, you know, that we align our families and our work around that as well. Say, "God, it's not about what I really want. What do you want?" Because there's a bigger purpose. You know, and life on earth is so short here. I don't know about you. If you get 80 years short, my friend, compared to eternity, you better get on that journey. You better respond to that invitation, because Christ wants to take you to amazing places. That he took their disciples. He took them into that storm. Interesting that he would take them as evening came, the Bible said, and they took them into the storm at night. Why would he take them at night? Let me propose to you what I think had happened. I don't know if you've ever been in a storm, or when we don't get a lot of that here in Swakop with the rain and stuff. You know, my children, often when we go out of here, they don't even recognize seasons. So I have to tell them this is now autumn. Okay, this is why it looks like this. We have just one season here. It always looks the same, isn't it? Anyway, but when you're in a storm during the day, it's okay because you can see outside. You can see, well, the water is a lot, you know. But when it's at night and you hear the thunder and you hear the water and you see all of that and you hear the water coming down, yeah, turn that down. We add it up in the first, turn it down in the first service as well. I know it's a noise. And I didn't ask somebody to do that, sorry. Thanks. But what happens with a storm is when it's at night and it's raining and you don't know what's happening around, it's okay, we want the rain, but at a certain point you start worrying because I don't know what's happening around me. Anytime we go into an unknown territory where we cannot see anymore, because here's the thing, God wanted to take them beyond the place where they can walk, not just by what they see, but by faith. And if we're going to follow Christ, we'll have to get to that place where we follow according to faith, not according to sight. That's difficult, eh? Our natural man wants to make decisions according to what we see, and what we perceive is logical. And I'm not saying don't use your brain. I'm not saying put that aside. I'm just saying if we really want to walk in faith, you need to respond to the invitation of Christ that doesn't make sense. And most probably it will take you on a journey. Some stayed behind under that tree, and others were within the boat, and actually was at night. And then things happened. Actually, very interesting. The storm came up, and Jesus, bad timing, he's sleeping. Jesus often get bad timing when we're in the storm. Huh? I don't know about you. I always thought, Jesus, can't you? Where are you? You're so silent. We shared on that last week as well. But Jesus, I believe, did that deliberately, just allowing them for a moment just to panic a little bit, just to get in touch with their emotion and all of that. And the boat, think about that. And the people think, oh, Jesus, just wake him up, man. The boat is going to break. And the storm is just becoming worse and worse. And then somewhere they got Jesus awake. And Jesus says, storm, be still. Boom. One word, one sentence. God can turn your whole life around with one sentence. Amazing if you allow him to do that. And the lesson was right there in the middle of the storm. We would love to pray the storm away. Jesus, take away the storm. No, no, I want you to see that I'm in control of that. I want you to be in touch with that fear and then confront that with faith. See, we want to get the lesson afterwards. The lesson is in the middle of the storm. Right now, there. Just have a moment there and ask the Lord, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Are you trying to say something here to me? But if we're going to journey with God, or we're going to search for love this morning, we'll have to follow Jesus because he's going to lead us on this journey to some interesting places. Like in the story, guys on the boat. Now I just want you to see this. Get with me into the boat. Rewind a little bit back to Mark 5 in your head this morning to 2,000 years ago, roughly. They've been through the night. They've been through the storm. A rough night, didn't sleep well. They saw Jesus' power, but before that, there was quite a lot of things happening, and they were afraid. We almost died last night, but thanks to Jesus, we are here. Can we just get to the other side? Now, as they get to the other side, the Bible tells us that there's a man that were running nakedly there and howling. Now, I don't want to sound like a wolf or a lion this morning. I'm not going to try and do that, but maybe some of the children will run out this morning. Then I'm actually good actor, if I can manage to do that. But anyway, what happens, they get to this, they row the boat, and they get to, so we row the boat, get to the other side, and then, by the way, just Google that area, and then you'll see what it looks like there. It didn't look like Mauritius, okay? It didn't look like Zanzibar, and didn't look like any beautiful Cape Town beach that you have, beautiful beaches. I know some of us think, okay, Jesus, I'm with you on the journey. We're going to Mauritius, and then on the other side, we've got a waiter waiting for us, with a drink, helping. Oh, what can we do for you? Here in the kingdom, have you arrived? Are you with Jesus? No, no. When they got there, and this is where Jesus wanted to stretch them, imagine this, the disciples, and they hear something. Oh! No? And the next thing, they could see the tombs, they can see the cemetery. I mean, I don't know, some people, they are so superstitious, they wouldn't even walk through that at night. But anyway, now they're there and they see all of that. It's dry. no white beach, and there's a man coming running to you. And you just sit in the boat. And he's naked. I don't know about you. I would put it in reverse gear. Wrong destination. Jesus, you've got the wrong, not this side. Let's go back. But Jesus is deliberately taking them in that direction because he wanted to stretch them. He's taking them to a specific man for a specific reason. Other day, you know, about end of last year, I went to pick up my schools at lunch, my children's school at lunchtime. And anyway, what happened is I drive down the street, and then my neighbor, one of my neighbors, I won't reveal his identity because Christ loves him. Anyway, so there are two safes for rifles on the street, on his driveway. And I thought maybe once he's got a garage sale, or maybe he's going to sell that. Or maybe just stop there. Maybe I can do with the bigger one for all my guns. But anyway, so I forgot about that, and then I drive past there again, and then I was reminded, maybe I should ask him. So I stopped there, my bucky is still idling, and I just stopped there, and I said, he's so-and-so, the neighbor there. I said, do you sell this? He says, no, I don't sell that. But now you have to imagine what happened there. So there's something more. The garage door's open, there's an old car standing there, and he's busy working on that. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a beer on the table, and then he starts having this conversation with me about the people that crossed his fence and that were over his wall and they were doing things there and how he's going to shoot them, he's going to kill them, or what's the people going to do? Is it okay if I kill them? That's, you know. And then he's using a few, yeah, it's flavor to that with a few other words as well. And I'm just standing there, God, I need to get out of this. Mission aborted. Let me just reverse. I don't want to get involved in this conversation. I feel a bit uncomfortable. And as I'm preparing to end the kind of conversation we're having here, because I'm just treading and I'm just afraid he's going to ask me any given time, what am I doing? So I'm just trying to get out of this. Because this is always awkward when they talk like that and then they ask you what you're doing and then they switch over to religion. But anyway, so I'm like, reverse, reverse, reverse. Get in the car, it's still idling. And then as I'm standing there, I'm sensing the Holy Spirit says to me, what if I want you to minister to him? So I'm standing there, God, I don't think I'm ready. I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable, Lord. This is not, I don't want to say my type, this sounds if I am better, and I'm not saying that, I'm just uncomfortable. Because I've been too much in this circle around this, and Jesus is taking them in that destination for a specific reason so that they can become a little bit uncomfortable. And if we're going to be on a journey with Jesus, we better become uncomfortable with the people he's sending us to all those weird and unwanted people, because they were among the cemetery. You know, it represents death. Jesus is going to take us to the spiritually dead people and say, you know, become comfortable around them, because this is why I'm here for you, or why I came. We don't like that place, eh? I don't like what they smell. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they talk. I'm not comfortable with that. But here's the thing, Christ is comfortable around them because he loves them. He can look beyond the words. He can see the heart. He can see the person that's crying out. And even though they're still in sin, even though they're at that place when they touch all different kinds of things, Christ can see you're just searching for the truth. And we are so uncomfortable, myself included this morning. I'm telling you the story because it just shows us how often we can live in this little bubble of where we do church and I love this. I love to spend time here with you. I love you, all of you here. But in actual fact, you know what we're supposed to do here? It's just an hour and a half. It's just testifying what God has done for us this week. Just edify one another and I say goodbye to you. I've got work this week to do. All of us. See, in a moment, our devotion, this is what happened. This guy, he was a terror unto himself, but also to others. He would hurt himself, but also others. Broken people will continue to hurt other people. That's why you need healing. That's why I need healing continuously. Next month, we're doing emotional, I don't want to say physical, spiritual healing course that will be presented here. So watch out our announcements for that. And I would really advise you to come and sit here and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But Jesus is on a mission here to heal this man. And this man would run after people, chase them. Everybody is just, stay clear of that man. Just give him a bit of distance because he would hurt them. But this time, when Jesus stepped on board, He came running to Jesus, not with rage, but with reverence. Because he could see there's an answer here. There's hope here. Even the demons had to acknowledge and ask permission. There's hope here. Can I propose to you that if our devotion becomes so pure and undivided, those that are dead, those that are weird, will come running to us. You've got hope, I can see it. There's something in you. Because an undivided, pure, devoted person cannot but not talk about the love of God. I don't have to convince you this morning. When you're so devoted, I don't have to convince you to talk about Christ, to go, to share, to speak about that. Because that is who I am. That is how I'm so thankful, why I'm so thankful this morning for what he's done for me. And this man came to that place where he calls Jesus, Jesus, the Most High God. That's the word Elyon. Huh? Most High God. Out of that mouth, the mouth that just almost cursed everybody else, said a lot of things, and he said something there. Jesus, the Most High God. Sometimes we'll be surprised what comes out of the mouth of people around us that are really needing Christ. They say sometimes the best words comes out of the worst mouths. I'll share with you at our men's camp about 3 or 4 years ago. We had one guy there, he wasn't part of our congregation, he was just invited for the men's camp. And God touched him over that weekend. So through the weekend, we had a moment and he came up to me, he said to me, Yaku, I just want to thank you. I didn't invite him, somebody else in the congregation invited him. But I just want to thank you for organizing this camp. This is a effing nice camp. And I stood there and I thought, God, this man is just so honest and pure. Forget about the swear word. I'm not saying that's good, that's right. But I could see this man really had an experience with God. I'd rather go with that person really in search of Christ for an answer. And somewhere out of his mouth is still some of that stuff washing out than us. Or sometimes when we're in that place where we know all the right words, we know how to jump high enough, we know what to do, we know what to say, but everything's so predictable. My life is like this. Sunday, we do a little bit of that, and next week, a little bit of that, but it continues to look like this. Now, the story didn't stop there. The man came running to Jesus. Jesus touched him, and then it became interesting. Who of you have been in town the other day when Dolphin Pharmacy burned down? Come on. Raise your hand. Who had a look at that? Who went to look at that? Keep your hand up there. I was there as well. I'm with you. It's not sin, okay? You don't have to worry. You can raise your hand. It's not sin, okay? It was interesting, man. I was the whole Swakopmund almost in the center of town, observing how the fire brigade is working, because we never get the opportunity to see how it works. We only see that in the movies. But there was a talk of the town for a moment. It was in newspapers. Can I just say to you, I think that was a bit different that day, a bit level up. Can you imagine this group of people arriving on this little boat, this one man coming out of the cemetery, Jesus meeting him. I mean, imagine the sounds and all the noises, and the next thing after that you hear 2,000 pigs screaming. I've never heard 2,000 pigs screaming. Huh? That's something to talk. I don't know how big that area is, but there must have been something that they spoke about in the air salons for a while. Sorry with the whole cattle. No, I'm just joking. But that's a good place to catch up on what's happening in town. But anyway. Anyway, I'm just joking. Did you hear about that happen? Did you hear about that guy? Did you hear what happened last week? Did you hear that guy? He came here with that fellas, all of that stuff, and they came and they spoke. That one man that was there in the cemetery, and the 2,000 pigs and all of that. That's a commotion in town. There's something. Here's the thing. In that group of people in the town, there must have been a lot of moderate people as well. And I say it with love and respect. Nothing wrong against moderate people. God has created different kinds of people. But moderate people don't like when people are too radical around them. Okay, there must be a few of you that should say amen, but don't say amen loud. Say it in your heart. I find it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we become so comfortable in our safe zone. And people shouldn't do something outside that, then they are not don't be so loud. Just calm down. And I can imagine those people were there as well. They went, couldn't he just do it a bit differently? Why would he send them out in the peaks and there's all of this noise and this commotion going out in town? But here's the thing I want to make, or the point I'm trying to bring across. Often we do not have, and this is the thing, when darkness and light comes together, there's a clash, and we do not have control of the outcome. So, if I'm not familiar with the outcome, I can easily reject that. Because I don't like that. I'm not familiar with it. So I judge that. And it's a warning to us sometimes that if I'm not familiar, rather to go and search for that and try to find out, rather than just speak against that. And I can just imagine those people, what the heck is going on here? Who's this man? What's happening? Look at all the damage he brought here. All the pigs, it's just a mess. But there wasn't just an outcome, there was a response as well, apart from the outcome. Because even at any given time when we're going to go into ministry, any time when we go on the journey, any time when we're going to go to weird people and unwanted people and dead people, there's going to be an outcome of that. There's going to be a response as well. The people turned around and they said to Jesus, can you just go? Can you just leave this place? We'd rather, 2018 version, be in the presence of the pigs. We'd rather have our pigs than we have you. We'd rather have things than we have your presence. The response wasn't as I would have predicted it to be. They didn't want Jesus there. So Jesus got in his boat and he left. So I sense to say to many of you here this morning, you've been out there, you've been on the journey, all keen, maybe it happened early in your journey with Christ, and then it took you to those weird people, and you didn't get the response you anticipated. You didn't get the outcome as you anticipated. And Christ is inviting you back into that boat. I say, it's okay. That'll happen. It will happen. Can I say to you this morning, even this morning it happened as well, and I have been for other services, that people sometimes just walk out of the presence. Do you know how intimidating sometimes it can be when you know that they've just been confronted with the light and they just choose to walk out of that? Here's the thing, I have to look past that. You're going to, and I'm going to be carriers of light. And sometimes when light meets darkness, people can either decide to change, and I say that with love as well. We have to learn how to do that, to bring it across and make sure that our contribution, our side, we are clean, that we've done our best to the best of our ability. But even if we've done that, the outcome can sometimes not be as we anticipated it to be. But we cannot be thrown by that. We have to move past that place. And the man comes to Jesus, and this man says to Jesus, Jesus, can I follow you? And Jesus says, no, sorry, go back and tell the others. And some translations translated that this man went and he told 10 other towns about what Jesus has done for him. One man, the result of one healing, the result of some people that were willing to move from the tree into the boat, through the storm, through a dark night, outside the comfort zone, with Jesus, to a place that they didn't know, to people that they're not comfortable with, but just willing to walk with Jesus. He touches this man in 10 cities or 10 towns, has been affected as a result of that. In my own life, I've experienced that. Some years ago when we went to England, and my youngest brother was there already, and what happened to be is as we were preparing to go across there, what happened is he spoke to my dad and he said to my dad, can you ask Jaco to bring me a bottle of brandy with him? And he was living in the world, fully going out there, having a go. And I responded, I said, I'm not taking a bottle of brandy with me. I'll bring you a Bible, jokingly. So long story short, as we got there, he was in his own world, trying to find pleasure there, and all kinds of things. And then what happens is we were building a relationship, strengthening that, because I believed that God has placed me there for a reason as well, many other things. But so I kept on inviting him, and he didn't want to go. He's got his own world. You know, if you've ever been in a place like that, you know, I mean, we live in a moderate place. I know there are horrible things happening right in our midst sometimes. If you look at what's happening with the children at school, if you look at what's happening in families, there's so much pain in our own world. But even back there, there was just, you know, going out at night. I remember you would go into clubs, and when you would drive past that, getting back to the club thing now, but you would drive past that club and you think, God, if you would just look on this, down on this, I don't know what it seems or looks like to you, but horrible things, you stories that you hear about drugs and stuff that people were doing in there. So my brother, he was going to clubs and all of that stuff, and he can tell his own testimony about using drugs and all kinds of things. And so we're building our relationship and keep on inviting. So one day, I continued inviting him, and he said, you know, I'll go to church, but why don't you ever go with me to a club? You always want me to go to your church. You want me to take me with you. You never want to go with me. I said, well, when I saw my opportunity, I said, I'll go with you. Well, let's make a deal. Tonight, I'll go with you to the club. But then tomorrow morning, you come with me to church. Deal. Sign. And what happens, I went there with him, and I'm not saying to everybody here this morning, go out to the club this week. Please make sure that the Holy Spirit tells you that, because we're on a mission here. And I tell you, I surely wasn't comfortable there. But I was there on a mission with Christ, on a journey, taking me to unwanted people in a cemetery, spiritually speaking. And I said to him beforehand, I said, listen, I'll go with you. I'll enjoy this with you, but I'll enjoy it with my drinks. I don't need the other drink to take me to that place of enjoying myself. So anyway, we were there the night, enjoyed it. I enjoyed it there with my brother. Because God, I'm just trusting for this. And the next morning, I woke him up. He was still asleep, you know. And hangover, that's the word, yeah, I was looking for. Somebody's following my thoughts. Thank you so much. You're listening attentively, because I was about to say, what is a babalas? And you said hangover. Thank you so much. It was on my tip of my tongue to ask, and then I heard it in the voice. Thank you, God, for spirit-inspired people that's sitting here in the audience. So I woke him up the next morning, still got a hangover. But fortunately, by God's grace, I got him out of the bed, and we're off to church. And that day, God saved him with the hangover. With the hangover, that's part of his destiny. Can I share to you, today he's in ministry. Today he's in Botswana. Today he's successfully preaching to hundreds, even a church bigger than ours. The result of one invitation. The result of one man that was touched 10 towns. You don't know, you underestimate sometimes the power of one invitation, of one healing, of one person that can be touched. And it's not about the thousands, it's about that one person that we can touch this year. If each one of us, imagine what God can do with it. He can multiply. Let us not try multiply. We're supposed to multiply, but it's amazing what God can do with it. One, if we can settle to that. Amen. Let's close our eyes. You know, I think about that group of people while your eyes are still closing, and I'm thinking about those people that sat there. And if I could go back in time, I would ask those that sat under the tree, so, how was your day? Are you just going to sit there? Are you willing to journey with Christ? Because I'm sure what the disciples shared after that day with the rest that stayed behind us, you didn't know, or you don't know what you've missed. Hold on. May Christ take you on a journey this morning as every eye is closed. I want to ask you this morning, before we journey, before we talk about the journey, we're going to do some practical stuff this morning and pray. I need to make sure or give you the opportunity that you are at that place that you are ready with Him in a relationship. Maybe you sit here and I'm asking you and I'm talking about journeying to a different place and to different people. But first of all, before you journey, Christ wants to take your hand and say, you are special, you are mine. But He can only do that when you come to Him and admit that you need Him. That you admit that you are a sinner. That you admit that He's your highest hope, your only hope this morning. While eyes are closed this morning, I want to give you the opportunity. Nobody, please don't look around. Let's just have a moment between us and God. And if you are here and you know that you're in right standing, just continue to pray where you are. Because maybe there's a battle of the spirits that's taking place. A clash that's taking place right now. If that's you that says, Yaku, I need that prayer this morning. I need to make sure this morning that I make Christ my Savior, my Lord. That I'm out of peace with my Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity by just raising your hand and say, pray with me. Wherever you are, you can just slip up your hand and say, Yaku, pray with me. It's me. I need that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. You can lower your hand. I sense there are more. Thank you, Jesus. You can lower your hand. Before we're going to pray for anything else, I want to give you that opportunity. One more time, if that's you this morning, you need to know that you're in right standing with God. The Bible says in 1 John 5, I think 13 or 3, that we can know that we have eternal life. You can know this morning for sure. Thank you, Jesus. I want you, if you raised your hand this morning, just quickly to slip out of your seat. Before we're going to pray for anything else, this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Just to slip out of your chair, from your seat, and just come to the front quickly. We want to pray with you this morning. We want to stop this service for a moment. We want to give you the opportunity just to pray a prayer with me. Wherever you are, I want you to quickly just come to the front. It's maybe a bold thing to do, but that would be the boldest thing you've ever done in your life. To publicly say, Lord, I acknowledge you. I need you. Thank you, Jesus. There are a few more people I want to ask you. Don't be shy. Quickly, let's just... While every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. It's beautiful what God does. It's a work not orchestrated by man. It's not something that we can change in the heart of man. It's not something that we can manipulate. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do that work deep there. So I'm going to ask you, if you're here in the front, just to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I bow before you. I acknowledge this morning that I need you. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that I'm in need of grace. So this morning, Lord, I reach out to you and I take your hand. I ask your forgiveness for my sin. I ask you to set me free and I ask you to heal me. Father, thank you this morning that you do a new work in my life. Amen. Father, I thank you for every person here this morning. Everyone, Lord, that you've touched here this morning, Father. Father, we declare that this day onwards, Lord, will never be the same again. We thank you, Father, that the work that you've done is an eternal work, Father. And Father, this is not a work by man. This is not work by a church. But Father, this is a work by your Holy Spirit this morning. And Father, I thank you, O Holy Spirit, that you'll continue to purify every person, ourselves included here this morning, Lord, but especially those of us that are saying, Lord, this is my first step in faith. This is my first step, Lord, in following you in this journey, Lord. I pray specifically for them, Lord Jesus, that you will place people around them, Lord, that will strengthen them, Lord, that they will not walk in this journey alone, Lord, but Father, that their hearts will be knitted to you, Lord, continuously, Lord, that they will continuously be in love with you daily, Lord, that they will talk about that, Lord, that they will continue to share, Lord, about their experiences with you. And Father, thank you this morning that the journey is exciting, Lord, as we continue to walk with you. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your seats for a moment, and some of our leaders will talk to you afterwards. I'm going to ask you just to make sure that they talk to you. Don't leave here, that we need to get your details. We just want to support you, help you. The amazing thing is that we cannot walk on our own. We still need that till this day, and we need people around you just to make sure, even if you're not part of this family, you're going to slot in somewhere else, that we take care of that. Because if I get you to pray this and I just leave you, that's abortion. That's spiritual abortion. We just leave you there on your own. And we want to take care of you. So please make sure that you give us your details. So this is the last part of our service, the practical part, just before you enjoy your lunch. I'm going to ask the ushers just to hand out all the stuff that we gave out. So it's a little card like that and a little one. You should have three things. One like that, a little one like that, and a heart like that. So if they can hand it out, I'll illustrate to you what we're going to do in the next moment or two. Let's just give them some time just to hand it out first. Okay, so they are handing it out, but you should have, it looks like a bookmark, but you can tear off the last part. Then you have a heart like that, you have a little lighthouse like that. Okay, so here's the thing what we're going to do this morning. We spoke about love is to go, we spoke about the undivided devotion. Everybody can be part of this, even though you are not a part of the congregation. We're going to, you feel there to do that, and we're going to give you a moment just to pray about that. But I shared on my neighbor, and I just sense that that God is really taking us to be the salt of the earth wherever we live, practically speaking. You know, the Bible talks about our neighbors, love our neighbors, and you can translate that in various ways. But we're going to keep it simple this morning, and we're going to keep it simple this year as well. If the Holy Spirit leads you during this year with your colleagues and people out there, great. Continues to be obedient, but we're going to be practical around this, because we sometimes struggle, especially in Christianity and Sundays and all these things, to apply that into the real world. So what we want to do this coming year is we want to be that representative in our neighborhood. That's why you have that little lighthouse there. So I'm asking you this morning, I'm not commanding you, I'm not encouraging you, I'm just asking you, if you want to be, if you commit this morning, because this commitment that you're making this morning, nobody's going to check up on you, nobody's going to visit your street and check, listen, did this guy do this and that? I would never know that. It's just a commitment between me and God, which makes it quite challenging, because I'm confronted with my words and my promises with God. And the commitment I want you to consider is to God, I'm going to allow your Holy Spirit just to direct me in my neighborhood, to let your kingdom come. Did everybody get one? Missed one? Carol needs another one. Heart. Another heart. Okay. So the commitment we want you to make this morning is just to pray over that. Say, Lord, I want to be the salt of the earth in my street, in my neighborhood. I want to be the one that brings the hope there. I don't know, it might be far-fetched for you, like it's for me. I still don't know, I don't have a technique and a strategy to reach across the street. And my boat is not yet ready in some ways, but I guess I'll have to trust Jesus. And I guess you've got a lot of stories to tell as well about unwanted people and weird people, but they're out there. But we had a lady in the first service, and she was testifying about her testimony about how somebody would, from where she got, where she lived previously, would just walk in that street and just pray for the street and for the people that's living there, and how she came to know the Lord because of that. So I want to advise you this time, don't go and get into the boat, row to the other side without prayer first. We need that. And I jokingly said that to the first service and the guys, whenever you go, you and your wife goes on your love walk, hand in hand there, you can just go for a prayer. You continue praying for your neighborhood, your street, and say, Lord Jesus, we dedicate the street to you. We declare freedom. We declare, Lord, that hope will come. We thank you, Father, that you create a platform for us to speak. Father, we thank you that you show us ways, and then you become practical. And what we want you to do is, if you keep the top part for yourself, you can tear this off. You can tear it off, and then you can write your name and your email address at the bottom part. You can give it back to the ushers. There's some pens at the back if you don't have. And what we want to do is we just going to send you a weekly tip later on of how to connect just practical ideas to your neighbors. You don't have to do that. That's just you and all of us, we're forming a network of neighboring, saying we want to be that neighbor. So some of us, we struggle with creative ideas. Maybe you are creative, And you can share with us, listen, I've baked this cake for my neighbor, and this was the response, and I think somebody else can learn from this. So it's going to be a practical way. And here's the thing, our highest, listen to this, we're not trying to convert people to Christ. We're loving people. Because sometimes, if we don't see the outcome is going to be like we hope it to be, we abort the mission. But God says, love them. We haven't got control over the outcome. Our highest, our deepest motivation is love. Our highest hope is salvation. And I hope for salvation. I trust and I pray for that. But let's first take a step back and say, Lord, I want to love my neighbor. Those that I am not comfortable sometimes with. Those that I would not necessarily choose by choice or first choice. And once you've done that, you throw that, give it back to us. You've got a little heart like that. You can keep that, make notes on that. It's just actually just to remember, remind you that we continue on the series. So what's going to happen over the next 5 weeks, if you can't be here, please listen to the sermons online. We're going to exchange that for that. That's a little fridge magnet that says love is to go, love is to speak, and so forth. So we're going to give to you on the last Sunday when we finish the series. Make sure that you're here, otherwise you're not going to have one. So that's just a little teaser out there. And then your lighthouse, you wonder what you need to do with that. If you were here earlier and you went through the foyer there, you would have noticed there's a big map of Swakopmund on the left-hand side. So if you're joining with us this morning, you say, you know what, I commit to be that lighthouse. I'm going to ask you to, as a prophetic sign, and every time when you walk past that, it will remind you, just to take that and stick it on wherever you live, in that street. Just put it on there and let it be a reminder this year of, I'm the lighthouse there. Could we do that this morning as we consider that in prayer? Please do not feel obliged to do that. I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be motivated by your love for Him. Amen.